The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, August 7th, 2025. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Civic Group Surveying Election Efficiency, by Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. The League of Women Voters of McLean County is performing a study on the county's two election authorities to identify any inconsistencies in the two entities' operations and whether there are opportunities for improved efficiency. Studies such as these are regularly conducted by the League of Women Voters to ensure its mission of empowering voters and defending democracy, the organization said. The League believes voting is a fundamental citizen right, League President Chad Call said in a news release. Ensuring that voting is a straightforward and easily understood process enhances and strengthens our democracy. Areas of focus will include known voter and candidate confusion regarding the two election authorities, consistencies and inconsistencies in the practices of the two authorities, and opportunities for improvements in administrative functions. Key stakeholders and experts on these subjects have been identified, and the League said it will conduct interviews with these individuals. Bloomington is one of six Illinois cities with municipal election commissions that operate independently of the county clerk's office. The other five are Chicago, Rockford, Galesburg, East St. Louis, and Danville. Apart from Chicago, representatives of each of these authorities have been consulted in the preparation of the LWV study. The Bloomington Election Commission is managed by a three-person board composed of representatives of both major parties. Commissioners serve three-year terms, and a chairperson is selected annually. Although the goal of this study is not to determine whether the BEC should be eliminated, McLean County voters have been asked whether they believe the entity should be dissolved in the past. In 2018, voters were asked via a citywide proposition whether Bloomington's election law, which includes the formation of its own election authority, should be rejected. However, the effort was defeated by a vote of 14,532 to 11,560. The study is expected to be presented during a League of Women Voters membership meeting in January. At that time, members will determine whether the study findings support further action. The next local story is entitled, BPD Gets $21,000 for Gun Enforcement, by Caitlin Klepek. Springfield. Illinois State Police announced this week it has awarded the Bloomington Police Department a $21,520 grant to support the enforcement of firearm laws. This award is the fourth round of firearm grants from ISP, with this round totaling $1 million awarded to 21 law enforcement agencies across the state. The grant will support the agency's enforcement details for individuals who are not legally allowed to possess firearms, according to a news release from the state. Keeping Illinoisans safe is my top priority, and that includes keeping people safe from gun violence, Governor J.B. Pritzker said in the release. I'm proud that we are providing local police departments across the state with the resources they need to ensure we keep deadly weapons out of the hands of those who who pose a risk to themselves or their communities. The enforcement details focus on those who are subject to a firearm restraining order, are subject of a clear and present danger report, or have been convicted of a crime, according to the news release. Local law enforcement agencies conducted thousands of compliance checks during the first 3 years of this grant program and placed thousands of individuals directly into compliance, transferring all firearms out of their possession and documenting the transfer with a firearm disposition record. Conducting enforcement details can be time-intensive and require additional resources, ISP Director Brendan F. Kelly said in the release. These grants can help local law enforcement agencies pay for the details, which focus on ensuring individuals who pose a danger to the public or themselves do not have firearms in their possession. The recipient departments will receive the grants for fiscal year 2026, according to the state. Law enforcement agencies that are members of the Violent Crime Intelligence Task Force are eligible to receive grants from the State Police Enforcement Fund, which funds this firearm enforcement grant. And here's a locally affected business story headlined, Chocolate maker Ferrero plans to buy Kellogg for $3 billion, by Deanne Durbin and Michelle Chapman, Associated Press. Italian confectioner Ferrero, known for brands like Nutella and Kinder, is buying the century-old U.S. cereal company W.K. Kellogg in an effort to expand its North American sales. The Ferrero Group said July 10th that it will pay $23 for each Kellogg share, or approximately $3.1 billion. The transaction includes W.K. Kellogg Company's 6 manufacturing plants and the marketing and distribution of its breakfast cereals across the United States, Canada, and the Caribbean. Since acquiring the former Nestle and Bike candy factory in Bloomington in 2018, Ferrero has expanded numerous times in the city, adding a 70,000-square-foot chocolate processing facility in May 2024 and completing a 169,000-square-foot expansion in September 2024, making the Bloomington site the first in the U.S. to make Ferrero's Kinder Bueno candy bar. A spokesperson for Ferrero told the Pantograph on Wednesday that the Kellogg sale is expected to close by the end of the year, but provided no additional information about how this may affect operations in Bloomington. Kellogg was founded in Battle Creek, Michigan in 1906 after its founder accidentally figured out how to make flaked cereal while he was experimenting with granola. Kellogg still makes cornflakes, as well as Fruit Loops, Special K, Frosted Flakes, Rice Krispies, and other cereals. Kellogg now has 4 U.S. plants, which are located in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Nebraska. It also has a plant in Mexico and a plant in Canada. The company has around 3,000 employees. The current company was formed in 2023 when Kellogg snack brands like Cheez-Its and Pringles were spun into a separate company called Kellanova. M&M's maker Mars Incorporated announced last year that it planned to buy Kellanova in a deal worth nearly $30 billion. Ferrero Group, a privately held family-owned company founded in Italy in 1946, has been trying to expand its U.S. footprint. In 2018, it bought Nestle's U.S. candy brands, including Butterfinger, Nerds, and Sweet Tarts. In 2022, it bought Wells Enterprises, the maker of ice cream brands like Blue Bunny and Halo Top. Over recent years, Ferrero has expanded its presence in North America, bringing together our well-known brands from around the world with local jewels rooted in the U.S. Today's news is a key milestone in that journey, giving us confidence in the opportunities ahead, Ferrero Executive Chairman Giovanni Ferrero said in a statement. Gary Pilnick, W.K. Kellogg's Chairman and CEO, said the combination would give Kellogg resources to grow its brands and explore opportunities beyond cereal. Pilnick also said Ferrero has a track record of supporting the communities in which it operates. Kellogg has been struggling with a long-term decline in U.S. cereal consumption as consumers turn to protein bars, shakes, and other breakfast items. Cereal sales got a bump during the coronavirus pandemic as more families stayed home, but sales continued to decline after the pandemic eased. At the start of July, U.S. cold cereal sales were down 6% compared to the same period in 2022, according to market research company Nielsen IQ. Kellogg's net sales fell 2% to $2.7 billion in 2024. Brad Haller, a senior partner for mergers and acquisitions at West Monroe, said Kellogg's large distribution network and relationships with grocery chains in North America is appealing to Ferrero because it would help the European company negotiate pricing and positioning for its products. The purchase also helps Ferrero expand beyond snacks, chocolate, and sweets and into a meal category, Haller said. But the company also may wind up cutting Kellogg brands or shutting down manufacturing plants, he said. As Americans, these brands are iconic and beloved by us, but a European company buying these wouldn't have the same nostalgia, Haller said. Kellogg has had other issues. A nearly three-month strike by workers at all its U.S. cereal plants in late 2021 hurt sales. And last fall, dozens of people rallied outside the company's Battle Creek headquarters, demanding that Kellogg remove artificial dyes from its cereals. Earlier this year, Kellogg said it was reformulating cereals sold to schools to remove artificial dyes and will not include them in any new products starting in January. Ferrero's acquisition, which still needs approval from Kellogg shareholders, is expected to close in the second half of the year. Once the transaction is complete, Kellogg's stock will no longer trade on the New York Stock Exchange, and the company will become a Ferrero subsidiary. The next local story is headlined "Police: Man Broke Woman's Jaw" by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A Bloomington man has been detained in McLean County after authorities said he broke a woman's jaw while on conditional discharge for another domestic violence offense. Stephen E. Lewis, 44, is charged with one count of aggravated domestic battery, a Class II felony, and two counts of domestic battery as a subsequent offense, a Class IV felony. Judge William Yoder heard arguments Tuesday on whether Lewis should be detained or released pending trial. Assistant State's Attorney David Fitt filed a petition to detain Lewis, arguing his release posed a danger that could not be mitigated by other conditions. In reading the probable cause statement, Fitt said a woman reported she had been beaten by Lewis on July 20th. She told police the defendant had headbutted her on the left side of her forehead, punched her on the right side of her face, and told her, "I hope you die if I don't kill you first," while she bled, Fitz said. Officers observed she had injuries to her face and jaw, the prosecutor said. On July 30th, the woman went to Peoria for treatment of her injuries and learned her jaw was broken. She underwent surgery, during which 6 screws and a metal plate were placed in her jaw, Fitz said. During their investigation, officers learned Lewis previously had been accused of battering the woman, the prosecutor said. While arguing for his release, Assistant Public Defender Nicole Mannin said Lewis lives in and is the only name attached to the residence where the woman had reported being battered. Mannin also said Lewis is disabled and struggles with his mental health. He is taking medication for his mental health conditions, as well as seizures. Lewis is on conditional discharge in a separate domestic violence case, but Mannin said he is at the top of the waiting list for domestic violence treatment through the court. She noted he is undergoing other treatment while waiting. In making his decision, Yoder said the defendant has a significant prior record, which includes domestics against the same victim. The judge found the defendant's dangerousness could not be mitigated by measures other than detention and ruled he be held in custody pending trial. Yoder also ordered Lewis to have no contact with the victim in this case. Lewis is scheduled for an arraignment August 22nd. The next article is entitled "Cocaine Dealing Nets 21-Year Term" by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A Bloomington man has been sentenced to 21 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to selling cocaine in McLean County while he was on supervised release. Demetrius B. Kennedy, 50, appeared Wednesday, July 30th, before Judge William Yoder for a pretrial hearing, during which he submitted the guilty plea. Originally, Kennedy was charged in May with 1 count of unlawful possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, a Class X felony, and unlawful possession of a controlled substance, a Class 1 felony. When he pleaded guilty to the Class X offense Wednesday, Assistant State's Attorney Alexandra Williams dismissed Kennedy's remaining charge. Yoder sentenced Kennedy to 21 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections, which must be served at 50%, and followed by 18 months of mandatory supervised release. He earned credit for 76 days already served. Yoder also ordered him to pay all associated fines and fees to the court. These charges stem from a McLean County Sheriff's Office investigation into drug sales in McLean County. On March 14th, deputies executed a search warrant at Kennedy's Bloomington residence and found 33.41 grams of cocaine and additional indicators of intent to deliver, including drug packaging materials and a digital scale, a prosecutor said during Kennedy's initial appearance hearing. Kennedy's attorney, Jennifer Patton, could not be reached for comment Monday regarding the resolution of this case. The next local story is headlined, "McLean County Man Nets 60 Years Across 2 Cases for Possessing Child Sex Abuse Images," by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A man from Normal has been sentenced to 60 years in prison after he pleaded guilty in 2 McLean County cases involving the possession of images depicting the sexual abuse of children. Scott T. Johnson, 26, pleaded guilty in both cases on July 9th, according to a news release issued Tuesday by the Normal Police Department. Johnson was originally charged in January 2023 with possession of child sex abuse images and indecent solicitation of a minor. According to Normal Police, a detective was able to identify Johnson following a May 2020 tip from the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, leading to a search warrant being executed at the defendant's residence. Multiple electronic items were seized and determined to contain child sexual abuse material, NPD said. Johnson was charged with 51 felony offenses. One count of soliciting a minor for nude materials, a Class X felony. One count of indecent solicitation of sexual conduct with a child with intent to commit predatory criminal sexual assault, a Class 1 felony. 43 counts of possession of child sex abuse images involving children under the age of 13, a Class 2 felony. 6 counts of possession of child sex abuse images involving minors under the age of 18, a Class 3 felony. He pleaded guilty to 6 Class 2 counts, and the remaining charges were dismissed. He was sentenced to the maximum of 7 years per count, totaling 42 years, State's Attorney Erica Reynolds told the Pantograph on Tuesday. Johnson was charged in March 2023 in a separate case with 19 counts of possession of child sex abuse images of children younger than 13, a Class 2 felony, and 3 counts of possession of child sex abuse images with minors under 18, a Class 3 felony. This investigation was also initiated by a tip from Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, Reynolds said. The prosecutor noted Johnson committed the second set of offenses after his house had been raided for the first case and while the investigation was ongoing. According to court documents, Johnson's first charges were committed on June 10, 2020, and the second were committed between June 1, 2021 and September 2, 2021. In his second case, Johnson pleaded guilty to 2 Class 2 felonies and 1 Class 3 felony. He was sentenced to a total of 18 years, 7 years for each Class 2 felony offense and 4 years for the Class 3 felony. Johnson will be required to serve the sentences in these 2 cases consecutively, totaling 60 years, which must be served at 50%, Reynolds said. He earned 895 days of credit for time already served. Stephanie Wong and First Assistant Public Defender Matthew Coders represented Johnson on his respective cases. Assistant State's Attorney Daniel Guido argued on behalf of the prosecution for both cases, and Judge William Yoder imposed the sentences. In addition to his prison sentence, Johnson was ordered to pay a $1,000 fine on each count in accordance with state statute, Reynolds said. The next item is entitled, Man Gets Probation for Striking Guard, by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A man from Normal has been sentenced to 30 months of probation after he pleaded guilty to battering an officer. Donald C. Beavers, 37, appeared Tuesday before Judge Don Knapp and submitted his plea to 1 count of Class 2 aggravated battery and 1 count of Class 4 unlawful restraint. When he was initially charged in February 2023, he also faced a Class 4 felony offense of domestic battery and Class A misdemeanor of resisting a peace officer. Those two charges were dismissed when he pleaded guilty Tuesday. Prosecutors previously said Beavers had battered a hospital security guard after he was arrested for domestic battery. Assistant State's Attorney David Beard represented the prosecution, while Assistant Public Defender Vivi Phan represented Beavers on Tuesday. During the hearing, the attorneys noted Beavers had been compliant with all release conditions imposed by the court throughout the case. Knapp sentenced him to 180 days in jail, with credit for 90 days already served, making this a time-served sentence requiring no additional jail time. Beavers was ordered to complete 30 months probation, pay a $75 fine for each guilty count, complete a drug and alcohol evaluation, and undergo any recommended treatment. And here's a local story entitled, Mariah's Mums and More Adds Farmtastic Fun Park in Clinton, by Olivia Jacobs. Clinton. Mariah's Mums and More recently celebrated the grand opening of its Farmtastic Fun Park at 16727 Airport Road in Clinton. The event was held in conjunction with the farm's annual Christmas in July event on July 26th. The new park features a jumbo jumping pillow, zip line swings, a pedal cart track, and 20 other activities for kids and adults. The activities are all hands-on, outdoor fun, blending play, learning, and farm life, according to a news release. The grand opening event also included a summertime visit from Santa Claus, themed treats from concessions, you-pick strawberries, flower bouquet making, a sunflower field, and the expanded farm market and gift shop with local produce, vibrant blooms, and hand-selected products, the news release said. The park will be open 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays in August and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday through Sunday in September and October. For more information on other upcoming events, visit mariahsmums.com. And here's an item entitled, Annual Experience Eureka Event to be held Friday, September 5th, by Caitlin Klepek. Eureka. The annual Experience Eureka event will be held from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Friday, September 5th, throughout the town. The event will feature 16 Eureka Business Association members offering coupons, treats, other items, and a chance to win a $25 EBA gift check. Participating businesses will be listed on the event tickets, and attendees are invited to visit each one throughout the evening. Tickets are $5 each and go on sale Friday, August 22nd at Eureka Public Library, 202 South Main Street, and Kirby Foods, 514 West Center Street. Tickets are limited and must be purchased by August 29th. For more information, go to www.eurekabusiness.net. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for August 7th. Please stay tuned.